listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Wednesday, September 23rd, and we are 3 days beating the hell out of Florida State, the Florida State Seminoles, the trash team up in Tallahassee. We are 72 hours away. It is Marsh, and I am sorry I missed the last episode. I was out camping with the family, with the uncles and the brothers and the nature. But as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, it's FSU week.
It is FSU week. Dude, I'm excited for the game, but like I was saying on Twitter, this is maybe the first FSU game ever that I'm not even nervous.
I'm trying to get the hatred in blowing within me, and It's because it doesn't even feel right. It feels weird.
It's because their program is in complete free fall, and they just look so terrible.
Shit.
Yeah. I seriously, I am 96% confident in this game.
So let me ask you, man, what was that experience? Because we haven't talked since the Louisville game. Was Saturday like?
It was good, man. I was very happy with the performance that we had. I will say, though, some of the things that I saw in the UAB game, I think they're just going to be things that we have to deal with this season. I think the pass protection is not as good as we think it is.
But it's a lot better than last year.
Yeah, but I think that's more scheme than talent, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's just because we have a smart coach right now.
Yeah. But 47 points.
Yeah, but I saw plenty of downs, especially between our guards, Jakai and then also Scaife, where they just kind of messed up, dude. There was multiple downs where they didn't block anyone and De'Aaron King took a hit. So, we need to watch for that. I still think, linebacker play is going to be a game-to-game thing. We got to hope that they show up for big games. Thankfully,
It doesn't get any bigger than Florida State, so.
Yeah.
I guess it does because we play Clemson the next week. But yeah, as far as emotional, and things like that, it doesn't get any bigger than FSU week.
Yeah.
And I was watching that with my brother, and I was like, what am I watching right now? Yeah. We can have back-to-back 75-yard touchdowns? What is this?
Yeah, and dude, there's nothing to say about the offense except for, thank goodness for De'Aaron King and Rhett Lashley.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was incredible. Yeah. Brevin! How about Brevin?
Yeah, dude, Brevin is so good, and we finally have the tools to maximize Brevin's talent. Because, it's not like that's new. It's not like Brevin got a whole lot better this year. He's just able to shine now because we don't have just people that struggle, everywhere around him.
Dude, and then Mallory's touchdown. Oh, dude, his 75-yard play that got called back. I was so pissed.
Yeah. I was tweeting. I said no more Green Tree All-Star status for Will Mallory anymore. So that was his coming out party.
Yeah. Oh, I was so happy. Before we get into a little bit of news and also the rest of the show, I want to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewing. You guys know that we have been working with them. Big fan of the Tank. Go follow them on Facebook, Twitter, social media, just at the Tank Brewing. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. I've been there. This place is awesome. 6,500 square foot. It looks like Rob Dyrdek's fantasy factory. I keep saying that. Great cigar room located next. They also do food. So whether you're drinking with your buddies and enjoying the Canes game, or you kind of just want to get a beer by yourself and maybe with the lady friend, the Tank is the perfect place. And if you're watching the game from home, that's fine too. You can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554. And here's the kicker. Whether it's delivery or pickup, when you use the promo code TANKFORSUP, you will get free delivery on game days. So sounds pretty good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the tank. I'm a big Yelp guy. I don't know if you ever use Yelp, but I'm always looking for good spots, and I use Yelp. And the Tank Brewing on Yelp has 4.5 stars out of 220 reviews. So.
Place, man, it's a good place. So
yeah,
help us out, help them out. Promo code again is Tank Fours Up. So Victor, he's our guy over there, so
yeah,
big thanks to him for hooking us up with them. Yeah, when I go down to Miami next month, when I move down there, I will for sure as hell be hitting up the Tank. So maybe I'll help out our business as well.
Yeah, I keep hearing about a guava manchego cheeseburger that they have. And that's both of those. I mean, if you would tell me a guava cheeseburger, that sounds good. And then a manchego cheeseburger, I'm all about that. But both, I've been thinking about this like repeatedly. It's kind of bad.
No, that's good. That's good. Okay. do you want to talk about AB real quick?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, our guy AB, Stickers by AB. I bought a whole bunch of stuff from him yesterday. Make sure you're following our guy Stickers by AB on Twitter. Make sure you check out his website and order some good stuff. He makes really high quality stickers that are usually 305 or Miami Hurricanes themed. I think he might be working on some Miami Heat stuff in the future. But yeah, Marsh, we have a collaboration sticker with him. It just says Drip across the front. It's really, really dope. Yeah. And I bought a number of them yesterday, so they're going to be everywhere. And that's kind of our first piece of merch that's officially been released. So, yeah, make sure you guys go support AB. He's one of our favorite dudes. He's helping us out. He's going to be designing all of our merch. And, he's just a good guy. I love chatting with him.
He is a good guy. I was talking to him earlier today. Just a fine, fine gentleman. Yeah. But, okay, we got that out of the way. We got two former Canes coming on the show today. Is our first one ready to go?
Yes, he is.
Hello.
Lance, what up, bro?
Man, what's up, bro?
Yo, Lance Leggett, former Canes receiver, is back on the Fours Up podcast. Dude, I must say, you've become a popular guy amongst the Canes podcast the last few weeks.
Man, listen, man. That ain't nothing new. I'm just coming back out.
Heck yeah. Hey, we love it, man.
That's all it is.
Absolutely. How's life been going for you, brother? How's everything going?
Nah, man. Honestly, everything been going good. You know what I've been doing, working hard on Leggett Speed Academy. Still pushing that, doing everything with my properties. But, man, with that Leggett Speed Academy, I'm really pushing it. So I'm going to come out with some more content. And try to make everybody hip to it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, give him a follow at the Leggett Speed Academy. I know you've been pushing that hard. And Canes fans, you guys have been awesome helping him spread that too. So have you, Lance, it's FSU week, man. Have you been able to watch the last two Canes games? What are your thoughts? We're 2-0, baby.
Man, listen, honestly, it looked like I watched a couple games. Since football started back, we look like we got the best offense right now in college football.
Did you ever think that those words were going to come out of your mouth, that the Miami Hurricanes have the best offense in college football? Dude, I was watching I was watching on Saturday especially. I could not believe my eyes. I mean, 47 points, and we left some points on the field too.
Honestly, like, I don't – like, the offensive line – we always had the skill players. It was just our offensive line was a little off. But now I think they're looking a whole lot better. You know, they might have some meltdowns, but you're supposed to. You got to have more wins than you have losses. But they look much better. But that quarterback, you already know, he just need a little bit of time. Just give him a little bit of time. They would give him a lot of time to throw the ball.
Yeah, that scheme. Jordan and I were talking about it, at the start of the show. That scheme is just making everything just work so good. I wanted to ask you, because you played for the Canes, you experienced several FSU games. How is it different in the locker room and on the practice field during FSU week compared to, if you're playing like a team like Virginia or something like that? How does the FSU week make it different?
Man, listen. I'm gonna tell you, like FSU week, you know, sometimes when you have to go to practice, like we used to have practice on that Tuesday. We was off on Monday, so we had practice that Tuesday. You like, man, God, I gotta go to practice Tuesday. But FSU week, shit. Man, you ready to go to practice because you know they're gonna play the music the whole practice. It's just a whole different vibe.
Yeah.
Man, you know you got to play. You about to play against someone from high school, so that's the best part about it.
Does that add to the rivalry? I mean, I've always been curious because, you know, we had like Dalvin Cook and Joe Yerby were playing against each other, and they were high school teammates and close friends and stuff like that. So what's it like when you're going up against a friend, but it's in the Miami FSU rivalry?
But you gotta understand, like. See, a lot of people just now, they just get to see it when they get to see the kids play when they're in high school, man, when they're in college. Man, a lot of them kids play against each other in sandlot football. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they've been doing that. They love to go against each other. At the end of the day, they're making it from a place, 9 times 10, they're making it from a place where a lot of people think they wouldn't make it from, and they're making a living out of it.
Yeah. So what's it? Because I know your first game as a Miami Hurricane in 2004 was Florida State. What was it like? I mean, you're thrown into it. I mean, sometimes you play FAMU, Bethune-Cookman to start off the season, but you were thrown into the fire against a really good Florida State team. I know that they still had guys like Cromartie and those guys on the team. What was it like? You know, your first time being in a Miami Florida State game.
Man, that's one of the best feelings ever. Like that's what honestly going to Miami, that's what you dream about, playing Florida State or Florida. You want to play Florida State, but you want to play them. It's like that's the dream. That's the money game, honestly.
So why is it like that? Because I've heard you know, other players, you know, like DJ Williams say that the reason he came to Miami was to put on the U and go against the team with the spear. So why do you think that is?
Because you got, like, it goes back to the childhood. You got kids playing against each other when they were young, competing against each other. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it just over the years that rivalry against each other, going against each other over the years, is just gonna get bigger. You see what I'm saying? So now you playing on a bigger stage, but there's nothing like, I can't really say it's nothing like that Florida State and the Miami game.
So, I mean, and, you know, your first game, I believe that was the Frank Gore game. What besides that, what's your most memorable game against Florida State?
Shoot, I go when I had made a we played, that was my junior year. And I made I caught a dig route across the middle. And I was almost to the touchdown. The dude caught me from behind, but I shook one dude. And the next thing you know, all my homeboys had called me like, boy, you had shoot that boy so bad, Dwayne Wade was on the sideline going crazy. And that was so all them boys at the game. So that was one of my moments I remember.
Yeah. So you you had some wins against Florida State, and you also had some losses in your career. But I'm curious, what does it feel like to lose in that rivalry? Like, what does it feel like to be on the losing side after – you know, all the hype and all the preparedness.
Man, that you feel sick. Because you got to that you feel sick. You got to listen to that for the rest of the year, for a whole year from your homeboys. And then especially people back at home, because you got mixed crowds. Some people like Florida. Some people like Florida State. Some people like Miami.
And so when you were growing up, and I know that you were in Polk County, I believe, was it straight Seminole or Gator fans? Were there no Miami fans?
Oh, no. We got Miami fans now. You crazy. Shoot, there's a lot. In Polk County, there's a lot of Miami fans. But, but it's a big old but. There's a lot of Florida fans and Florida State fans.
Because, I mean, I didn't live in Polk County, but I've lived in Tallahassee, places like that. And, man, the Miami fans, they're scarce, man. There's a lot of – even growing up in Miami – there was a lot of Gator fans, a lot of Florida State fans, but from the two games that you've seen and the way that this offense is going, you know, do you feel more confident in Manny Diaz bringing back the Canes and where we're supposed to be at?
Man, of course. Just put it like this. I feel for Florida State. Man, listen, this, nobody won't bet me from Florida State. My one of my good friends from Bart, he played at Florida State, Freddie Stevenson. He won the national championship there. He would not bet me. He would not bet me on this game. I want to bet him, but he won't bet.
Well, that says everything we didn't know, we need to know then. You know, I was just telling Marsh that, like, you know, usually I'm so hyped, so excited, and I have that knot in my stomach, you know, for FSU week, because I'm just nervous about how the game's going to go. You know, it's usually unpredictable. But this year just feels a little different, man. Like, I'm coming in more confident than I've ever been in this rivalry. Like,
at the end of the day, it's our turn now. They turn, it's our turn now.
Yep, they're going to lose to four. They're going to lose to, what is it, four different Miami quarterbacks in a row?
Oh, well. Hey, the crazy thing about it, Michael Novell, we went to the same high school. Oh, well.
Really? You went to the same high school as Coach Norvell?
Yeah, we went at Arlington Grace Prep. When I transferred, when I left Florida, I went out to Texas my last 2 years of high school. And he played a couple years before I got there, but that's where he went to school then.
Nice.
Yeah, did you hear that he's not even going to be there on Saturday because he tested positive?
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think I'm pushing a conspiracy, man. I'm thinking that was on purpose so that at the end of the year, after how horrible their year has been and will be, they can be like, hey, I haven't lost to Miami and I haven't lost to Florida yet, so you got to give me another chance.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, Jordan. But I actually had a question about the head coach and everything like that. How much of a difference will that make that Coach Norvell is not there for Florida State? I know that we talk how it's going to have a huge impact, but I mean, let's say that, you know, Manny Diaz wasn't going to be there on Sunday. How much of, you know, how crucial is it, and how much of a difference does it make if your head coach is not there?
It's like I don't want to use this analogy, but it's like this example is like taking a dog to a fight. If the owner not there, guess what? The dog won't fight as good. You see what I'm saying? So you already know what's gonna happen. We got the owner at our game. Florida State don't got the owner, so. But hey, you better keep up with the technology, Coach.
Jordan kind of pointed towards this earlier about, you know, losing to FSU, and you know, in 2005 and 2006, Miami came up short. There were very close games. Which one hurt more, do you think? Was it 2005 or 2006?
All of them. Man, it's Florida State. You do not want to lose to Florida State. All of them. So my career against Florida State, I went 2-2, but they hurt.
Yeah.
It feels good when you win, and it hurt when you lose.
Yeah. Well, and especially that 2005 game, because, I mean, we were right there, and, we couldn't – the botched field goal and everything. It feels like the defense has played really, really well in those games when you were there. Like, when Florida State played together, it was always like 13-10, 7-10. It was hard hitting, it looked like.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, so I want to ask you real quick – like, what's your favorite aspect about the rivalry? Like, you know, to you, like, how would you sum up the rivalry in your own words?
It's the best rivalry in college football. Like they always say, you can't get a better atmosphere than Miami and Florida State. Just look over the times, wild right, wild left. You see what I'm saying? Just saying those two things, wild right, wild left. It seems like somebody got voodoo over the game because how many times do that happen? See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It happened many times. What was it like the final drive, or not the final drive, but the drive where Sonoris Moss took that screen pass and tied it? What was it like being on the field and being on the sideline? Because I was in the stands, man. That OB crowd was nuts. But what was it like being on the sidelines for a drive like that?
Boy, that boy hit that go button. Then that boy was moving, wasn't he? Man, a lot of people know Buster Norris fast, but that what? That's the crazy thing about it. We saw that in practice. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people, y'all was excited, but we saw that in practice. It's against Florida State, so everybody happened. But that was normal.
Was there a sense of, like, were you guys, when you're down 10-3 and Brock Berlin goes and you know, you guys trot out onto the field, did you ever think that you weren't going to score?
Heck no, because I just, like I said, that was my freshman year. But when I started practicing with my teammates, I saw a lot of dogs out there. You see what I'm saying? So I knew we wasn't at the game.
Okay. I mean, I'll be honest. I was only like 9 years old, but man, I was nervous. I was very nervous about that, and because the offense had been struggling a little bit. Who were the guys on Florida State when you were there at Miami during those 4 years? Who were the players on Florida State that really stuck out?
Well, you know, they had Camardi, Ernie Sims. They had some first rounders. They had too many. Shit, you know that. You probably can name more than me. I just named two first rounders. You got to look. Camardi set out, what, his last one of his years and then played a whole year and still went first round?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Go look it up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, and Cromartie is just one of those players that you can point to in that rivalry. And this rivalry just has so many, like, playmakers and just so many legends just from Miami and Florida State. You even go back to Deion Sanders. You got Reggie Wayne. You got Michael Irvin. And then you even pass over a guy like Antonio Cromartie. I mean, that guy's one of the most gifted corners I'd ever seen.
Yeah, he is. See, I thought I'd never say this. We talking about Florida. I thought I'd never, like, root for a Florida State guy. And I'm be honest, I'm rooting for one Florida State guy right now. And that's Deion. Like, what Deion about to do at Jackson State, man, it's about to be crazy. Honestly, it's about to be crazy. Don't be surprised if he get a five-star.
So that's real then? That's happening?
Hell yeah, that's happening. Where you been at?
I've been out of town, bro. I've been up in the mountains.
Yeah, you got to get out the mountains then, because Deion finna change the world. But listen, I guarantee you Deion get a five-star this year.
Well, I mean, Deion is the kind of guy, and I think that you said it perfectly. I mean, I don't root for FSU guys openly, but Deion is, and just the situation, like, with Jackson State, that's pretty cool. And Deion's just the kind of guy that it's hard to root against.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, man. It's hard. I love what he do.
He's got the type of swag that you would think he played at Miami, but
yep. But it ain't, listen, it's a Florida thing. Deion from Florida. He from Fort Myers. He's a Florida guy. That's just a Florida thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I want to get your prediction for the game on Saturday. I want to hear the score, and I mean, just tell me what you think it's going to look like. Give us your pregame analysis.
Man, listen, I know for a fact our offense is going to average over 30 points this year, right? So yeah. If I say that, man, put it like this, I think I can't give you the exact number, but we're going to at least beat them by 21.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I said that 21. On Twitter 2 days ago. I said 21 plus.
We got to get the P-roll. We got to get that. We got to get the 21. We got to 21. Get them off the sticks.
I don't know if I've ever – I mean, I know when Jameis Winston was there and everything, they beat us pretty good. But I don't think I've ever seen Miami blow out Florida State. I know last year we won by 17, but why do you think that is? Like, why do you think
Miami that quarterback
is close?
The quarterback? Man, listen, you see what we – that's the only thing we was missing. We needed somebody who could move. Look over the past years, we had okay people. Man, we need somebody who could move. That's the new age quarterback right there. You're looking at the new age quarterback. Look at the kid at Arizona.
Yeah, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. Man, listen, that's the new age quarterback. You're about to start seeing a lot of athletes, like especially a lot of black quarterbacks coming out of Florida. There's a lot of over the years, Florida always – had those type quarterbacks. Now they're not looking at the size, how tall they are, and they could just throw the ball. Man, you're gonna see a lot of quarterbacks who like undersized, but they could play in the NFL now.
Yeah. Do you think Derek King has a shot to play in the NFL?
I'm not talking crazy. I think he's a first rounder.
Okay, at quarterback.
If Murray, look at him. They already comparing him to what's the rest book. Go look at it, but he's a better runner.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I actually I made the comparison on our last episode.
Russell Wilson, not Russell West, but Russell Wilson. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. You're good. I made the comparison last podcast that as a ball carrier, he looks like Kyler Murray. Like, he has that same kind of agility, like the same kind of wiggle that Kyler Murray has when he's a ball carrier. And dude, he's just so fun to watch. Love watching DeAndre King.
Just by watching that story on ESPN, that man, his mindset on a whole nother level. You see what I'm saying? It's on a whole nother level. He bought his business. I don't think nobody's gonna be able to slow him. Honestly.
It's crazy seeing a quarterback like this at Miami, because I mean, we've gone so long.
We better keep up with the time. You gotta understand, if we wanna keep up with the time, you gotta look, especially in Florida, especially in South Florida, man, a lot of those kids down there, they be in the spread offense, right? But they play with a quarterback who can run too, right? Don't get them at Miami and have a quarterback who can't run. Get them a quarterback who can run. That's what they used to playing with.
I mean, you're right, man. And we're seeing how much that's helping now. Like, I don't know why it took so long to get a quarterback like this.
Hey, listen, you better get away from that old school stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we haven't been doing too well the last 15 years, so I think we need to get away from a lot of that stuff, man. Just the type of offense, the type of quarterback. Like, I still can't believe we scored 47 the other night. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Man, that offense crazy. They look like they running four plays in one, honestly.
Yeah, well, we only had 21 minutes of possession time, too. So, I mean, imagine if we would have had 30 minutes of clock.
And we would have scored 60. The plays that got taken back.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But that's part of football. So, hey, we got to get rid of them penalties.
Yeah. Absolutely. What did you think about our defense? Because,
we straight on defense. I told everybody, as long as we have a D-line, we good. And listen. That boy, number 15.
Phillips.
Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, man, listen. He reminded me of one of them Bosa brothers.
Yeah, he's really good.
He big, man. He big. Like, you got to understand, he's strong. You saw that hit when the running back tried to hit him low in the knee?
Yeah. Man, saw that. That's dirty.
I started doing the game. I was watching that because I kept watching him. Listen, he got a good package. He know how to pass rush you, and he know how to use his hands very good. Yeah. I watched him. I kept watching him.
Yeah.
He got a real good D-line.
Agreed. I think he might be our best player overall right now. It's either him or De'Aaron King. But I love Cam Harris. I love Bubba Bolden. It's easy to underrate kickers, but just the confidence that Jose Borregales brings us, and, you know, those 50-plus yarders, I don't even blink at him anymore.
Right.
We got a good squad this year, man.
He put it together, man. A man is a businessman. He like me. Hey, if it ain't working, I got to get you out of here. See you later. And he did.
Absolutely. All right, Lance, last question for you. Give us a score prediction for Saturday.
Man, I just told you. I can't give you that. I'm telling you, 20. Hey, we're going to beat about 21. You know how they say you're going to get 21, like when you're playing Madden? Yeah. Get 21, we're going to put them off the stick.
Okay.
I love it. All right, Lance. Thank you so much, brother, for coming on. I know I texted you on short notice, but really appreciate you having on. And we got to get you on again later on in the season, man. Hope everything's going well.
No, man. I told you I was going to come on. I did that on purpose. I wanted you to panic a little bit. I wanted to let you know last minute I was going to do it. I was just busy. I was just doing it last minute. I wanted you to panic a little bit. See how bad you want me on the show.
Hey, hopefully that's funny. Well, hey, man, we wanted you on the show, and we're glad that we got you, man. You're one of our favorite guests, brother.
No, man, you good. Thank you for having me.
For sure, man. And make sure you plug your Speed Academy real quick.
Oh, man, listen, on my Speed Academy, you go find me on, listen, I'm new to this, so let me slow down so I can have everything right, all right? All right, on Twitter, find me at Leggett Speed Academy. On IG and Facebook, I'm sorry, on Twitter, you can find me at Legged Speed. On IG and Facebook, you can find me at Legged Speed Academy.
Cool.
And you can log on leggedspeed.com and buy the course. It's only $19.97. It's worth it. You want your kids going to the Division I school, or you want to go into community college? You choose.
I love it.
Hey, they choose. I'm just trying to help them out.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to see my kids play on TV.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, hey, Canes fans, go give that a follow and make sure to help a boy Lance out. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on, man.
No, thank you, bro.
Thanks. Go Canes, man.
All right.
Cool, man.
He's dude. Funny.
Yeah. Oh, I love Lance. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's
dude. I love his confidence, man.
Yeah.
He's a confident dude.
He just sounds like a former Cane.
Yeah, he's a confident dude. I like that. I like, and even when he's telling like practices, like stories from practice, you know, because I love last time when we had him on and we, you know, I was like, hey, LeVon wanted me to ask you about your fight with DeMarcus Van Dyke. And he's like, oh, yeah. Ask LeVon if he remembers me running past him all the time in practice. Yeah, he's a funny dude, man. I'm glad. It sounds like things are going really well for him, you know. He said he's got his rental properties and stuff going on. Got the Speed Academy, so we're really pumped for him.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so excited. So excited for him. Make sure you go look up Legged Speed Academy. And we thank him again for coming on. Is our second guest ready to go?
So he's not. He's I'm having a hard time getting a hold of Vaughn right now. Okay. So we could do the Mount Marshmore of FSU Miami games if you want.
All righty, let's do it. I will. Go ahead.
So let's just do four between the two of us. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. All right, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my first submission. Is you're much more of a Canes historian than I am, so I'm gonna have to go with the low hanging fruit, and I'm gonna take the 2017 game. Dude, just when Darrell Langham caught that pass and falls into the end zone, man, just pure euphoria.
Yeah, that dude, that was honestly one of the happiest moments of my life.
Yeah,
when FSU scored to make it 20-17 in the fourth quarter, yeah. I was so certain we were done, and I was so pissed.
Yeah,
so pissed.
Well, and to add context to it, so I mean we're coming off the Brad Kaya era, where FSU was really really good for a while, and Brad would get our teams up for those games. I mean. You know, we were taking it to Jameis Winston and Dalvin Cook. I mean, two guys that are making a ton of money in the NFL right now. And Brad is, like, locking horns with them, taking it to the very end of the game, you know, like nail-biter type stuff. And then his last year, we have that blocked extra point that just, oh, my gosh, that's one of the worst sports moments of my life. So, I mean, that all just set the stage perfectly, you know, because I'm with you. You know, we go down 17-20, and you're just thinking, like, dude, there's just no way. Like, I've seen this movie before, you know. This has been the last 3 years of my life. It's all just playing back again. And then, geez. And you know, like, our passing game wasn't even our strength that year.
No, so hell no, it wasn't.
Yeah, and Malik
was, like, 10 for 50 that game.
Yeah, and Darrell Langham was you know, like, all due respect, like, he was kind of a bench warmer for most of that year, you know? Like, he came up with the biggest plays of the whole season, but he just didn't play much.
I know. Yeah. He's remembered for two catches.
Yeah, well, I mean, he probably only had, like, 10 that year, honestly. I'm going to look that up. I want to see how many catches he had. so you give us our next one. I'm going to look up Darrell Langham's stats.
So my second one is my first ever Canes game. It was Miami, Florida State, 2002. Wide left, Canes are down 27-14 at the start or in the fourth quarter. And somehow Ken Dorsey leads us back. He wasn't sharp all day, but he led us back, and McGahee takes a screen pass like 66 yards or something. I thought the Orange Bowl was going to collapse. Then Jason Gathers brings it into the house, and then 28-27, 43-yard field goal to win it. We don't like they could have won. They could have won that game and shocked the entire country. No chance at the Fiesta Bowl for us. Yeah. And they missed it.
Yep.
They missed it because they're a bunch of suck-ass losers.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it.
Sorry. That was just building up in my heart, so I had to let it out.
No, you're good, man. You're good. Okay, so I'm going to go wait, hold on. Okay, so Darrell Langham had 13 receptions that year. No, sorry, 11.
Wow.
He had 11 receptions for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
Okay. All right, what's your third game?
Hold on, let me pull up I don't know. I'm going to let you go again.
So my third one, and I forgot to mention, we're doing Mount Marshmores of FSU games like during our fanhood. And okay. So we can't go back into the 80s or the 90s. Okay. Although I'd want to.
You were making me sweat. You didn't even tell me that. So you were making me sweat. I was like, oh, no. What game was Wide Right 1?
So for number three, I'm going to say. Yeah, you know what? Let's go 2018. Okay. The comeback. Miami down 27-7, another game I flew down for. And, 27-7. I was so pissed. I don't know where you were watching the game, but I was walking around the terminals at Hard Rock Stadium or the concourses just talking to myself about how angry I was. I was like, oh, my God, why are we running a halfback dive and we're down 20 points? I couldn't stop talking about myself. And then Sheldrick Redwine gets the comeback started with the fumble or the sack and the fumble. Gerald Willis recovers and then touchdown. And then Brevin Jordan from like 45 yards, 50 yards away, Nicosi Perry to Brevin, 28-27. Oh, that game. I wanted to cry. I was so happy. I was standing in the stands on my chair that eventually broke. I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
That game was so beautiful.
Yeah, man. I was working front desk at a hotel. And that was like the busiest night of probably the whole time I worked there. But I was I had like my laptop set up under the desk with the game streaming on it. And I was just, sneaking peeks as often as I could. That was a good one, though.
Yeah, it won't go down into the classics just because Florida State sucked that year and we ended up sucking. But, man.
Yeah.
That is right up there with like my favorite FSU games.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, man. So I'm going to go for the fourth of Mount Marshmore. And so we're talking just since probably 2006-ish, right?
Yeah. I mean, if.
Well, that gives us like 5 wins to choose from in the last 15 years.
Oh, I sure hope you're mentioning this game that's in my head, but I'll let you go.
I think I'm going to. I've actually talked about this almost every episode, and it's because we've been talking about how crappy we perform in primetime. And, I said it seems like we're 3-46 in my fanhood lifetime in primetime, and this is that first primetime win that I can remember watching, 2009 Labor Day night, Miami FSU. Our guy, Ja'Cory Harris, well, your guy, and Greg Cooper, had 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And that was the game that Ponder turned the ball over on downs like very late in the game, right in the end zone.
Oh, did he?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I might be thinking of a different game, but
because I don't think he was on that team.
Ponder was the quarterback of the.
Christian Ponder. I thought you meant LeVon.
Oh no, my bad. Just at the end of the game, they're at 3rd and goal at the Miami 2, and Christian Ponder threw an incomplete pass as the time expired, what a good game. I remember, so at least over here in Utah, I was actually watching that game by myself. I would have been 15 years old. And
I think I was like 13 or 14. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone had gone to bed. So I was just watching it by myself. And dude, that was just, that was one of my first like amazing sports experiences, you know, like, well, you know, I was still feeling out my Miami Hurricanes fanhood at the time, you know, cause it was probably only 3-4 years into being a super fan like I am now. And, dude, it's just,
yeah. Well, and FSU was ranked that day. Like they came into the season like 18th or something. We were unranked. It was the first game of the season. Yep. It was in Tally. Like I thought we were going to get run out of the building.
Yep.
And Ja'Cory pulls out a 400-yard passing game out of his ass. And it was insane. I remember the first drive he hit Benjamin for a touchdown.
Oh. Yep. What was it, like a 39-yarder or something like that?
But it was beautiful.
Yep. That was a fun game, man. That was a fun game. That's, you know, I remember those teams pretty well, man. We had, you know, Javaris James, Greg Cooper, like
Mike,
Travis Benjamin.
That was Mike James, I think. Or was Javaris still there?
It was Javaris. Yeah, and then you know, Travis Benjamin, Leonard Hankerson, and dude, those are fun teams, man. Aldarius Johnson. That's it. I forgot about him. I'm just looking at the box score right now. But
yeah, he had a few big catches that game too.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So anyways.
Epps or tight end Epps or something like that.
Yeah. Diedrich. Was it Diedrich Epps?
Something like that, man. But we just want to say thank you to Diedrich for those catches.
Yes. All right. LeVon is ready for us. Are you ready for me to call him in, Marsh?
Yep.
Cool. Very pumped to have LeVon back on, dude. He's one of my favorite guests.
Hell yeah.
LeVon, what's up, bro?
What's going on?
So we now welcome on our good friend and former Hurricane, LeVon Ponder, back to the show. It's been a few months. How you been, brother?
Been good, man. Just hanging in there. You know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It's football season. It's football season. We're 2-0, and it's Florida State week. How do you feel? I know that you probably watched a little bit of the first two games. What are your thoughts on the Canes this year, LeVon?
Offense looks real good, better than past seasons. Defense coming along, get a little bit of better play calling, put the guys in the right spots, so it'll be okay on that side of the ball. Special teams is the ace of the team right now.
Yep.
I want to say that. No, I haven't seen any returns. Louisville had a couple returns, but that was short returns just because he was pooching the ball up in the air and not putting it through the end zone to give him, you know, the 25 yards, the free 25 yards. Man, it's been awesome to have a kicker and a punter.
Yeah. 57 yards. Can you believe that? 57-yard field goal.
Last person I knew that could do that was Washer, the last person I knew that could do that.
Yep. Yeah. And he's still punting for the Falcons, isn't he?
Yes. Punting for the Falcons. So.
Man. It's an underrated aspect of the game, and you know, just thinking of 2 years ago when we had Bubba Baxa and and Zach Fiegels. Oh man.
I seen that. That punt Fiegels did against Duke that went minus 1 yard.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, man, for real. And nobody even rushed. They didn't even rush. He could have one step and boomed it. But I'm just happy we got a punter and a kicker.
Yeah. I mean, well, and also like that helps you out so much. I mean, what did Jordan he hit? 4 field goals on Saturday? Was he 4?
Yeah. I don't have the box score in front of me, but I know we didn't miss.
I know we didn't miss, and I mean, especially when you win by 13, those 12 points they come in handy, man. And so this week is FSU week, as we all know, and you know we're trying to talk to some former players and get their perspective on Florida State week. And so as a player for you, LeVon, you know how was it different when it came time for Florida State week compared to other games and things like that?
Florida State week, they always brought out the speakers. And you have speakers lined up on both sides of the field, offensive field and defensive field. And it's just blaring that damn chop song, whatever you want to call it. And it's just annoying you. You're like, man, I'm ready to go out on Saturday and whoop the shit out of some Florida State Seminoles.
Is there a team that you hate worse than Florida State?
No. Florida State's number one. And my hatred goes even deeper because I was being recruited by Florida State and Miami at the same time. And then all of a sudden, Florida State just stopped recruiting me all in one. Like, didn't hear a call, no text, no nothing. And I was like, you know what? I hope I get this chance to just stick to you, MFers, every time I play you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess for players like it, it's different, you know, especially because of the recruiting process and everything like that. What was it like your first ever Florida State game, just being on the field? I know that they play, whether you were in the Orange Bowl or up in Tallahassee, I know they're playing that damn chant, you know, after every single play. So what was it like? What was it like being on the field for the first time against Florida State?
It was crazy, man. My first game action was in 05. I was on special teams, and man, I was so my blood was running so high going down on kickoff. And then I was on kickoff return, too. And I was like, man, I just want to hit somebody. It's Florida State game. It was just so – it's just the moment, man. It's, and you know it's going to be prime time on ESPN or ABC. It's going to be one of the biggest games of the week, no matter what the ranking is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. When you were – I mean, oh, that 05 game. I was just thinking about that. That was That was a sad one. So what was it? Because, I mean, you were involved in winning against Florida State and losing against Florida State. What's it like going back into the locker room after losing to FSU, but also going back into the locker room when you beat them?
When you beat them, the time I beat them in 07, we was at Florida State. And you could mean that was Coach Shannon's first win over Florida State in the locker room. You could not hear yourself speak to your partner next to you. It was so loud. Everybody was happy, rooting, throwing stuff around, jumping up and down, playing music, blasting. Man, it was a joy. But when you lose to Florida State, man, it's one of the feelings. You like, man, can we get the chance to play them again at least? Can we do like the NFL and play them twice at least?
Yeah.
Yes, man. You hated to lose to them.
Yeah. Well, what's your best memory overall from that rivalry? Like the singular moment. I'm not talking a full game, but like what was the best single thing that happened for you in that rivalry?
Best moment was Frank Gore going in to score in 04. It was, man, I was next to Carlos Armour on the sideline, and it was like, man, he might score on this play. He's like, man, yeah, he might score on this play. And Frank scored, and man, we went crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That was the dude. I was up in the Orange Bowl, up in the sidelines. I was, and we just had Lance Leggett on right before you, and he was in that game, that 04 game. I wanted to ask you, so in that game, we were down 10-3, and Brock Berlin let us down, and Sonoris Moss tied it. Did you ever think that, oh man, we might lose this game. Like we might actually lose to Florida State.
No, because I believed in Brock. Brock was a guy who was a tremendous leader. I mean, tremendous leader, guy who, you know, got the offense going, guy who, you know, was vocal and was just one of those guys, you know, who was going, if it came down to a last second for him throwing something, body open or getting the right play in, he was the guy.
So Jordan asked you what your favorite singular moment was of the rivalry. What was your worst singular moment from Miami FSU?
Oh my gosh, I was standing right on the sideline. Oh, what was it? 08. No, I wasn't on the sideline. 08. 08 was my senior year, and I got spent around like a top as I was trying to slow down Ponder, the quarterback, from scoring. And I was spinning around like a top trying to get in position so I could make a tackle so he won't score. And it was just like an embarrassing moment, just like you spinning around like a top against on national TV.
Yeah, man. Well, so you mentioned Green Tree having the speakers and stuff, but how did the intensity change, like, between you and your teammates? So, I mean, when you're going through drills and stuff, was there a different level of intensity? Was it like a palpable feeling in the air during FSU week?
It was one of those you can cut the tension with a knife type moments. I mean, everybody's like, man, let's go, man. We gonna get ready this week. I'm gonna get you ready this week. You know, if you're on scout team, you like, man, I'm gonna give you the best look. If you were on the first, second team defense or first, second team offense, you're like, man, I'm gonna run these routes crisp. I'm gonna make sure I get in, you know, in and out of my routes, or I'm getting in my back pedal, you know, in and out my stance. It was just one of those weeks where like you were like, you had ultra focus going into that week.
So if you were in Coach Manny Diaz's shoes and you were talking to some freshmen about what they can expect, like, on the field, because, I mean, you know, it's different when you're playing Florida State. It's different on the field. What would you tell them to expect?
Expect a lot of trash talking, no matter what their record is, if they're the number one team in the nation or ranked at the bottom of the nation. They're going to talk trash. I remember one play, Greg Carr went up for a deep ball, and he hit the ball, overshot him in the end zone. He was like, yeah, man, I'm going to score on y'all anyway. That wasn't nothing. I say, if you don't shut up right now and get back to the huddle, I'm like, it's just all kind of trash talk. I remember one play, 06, I blitzed against Drew Rutherford. And I swear I was probably maybe step and a half late, and he let it go, and I still hit him just because I wanted to hit him. And then when I hit him, I knocked him down, and I stood over him. I was like, yeah, it's all game long. He's coming like that all game long.
I love it. I hate Drew Weatherford, but I love that. What was the question?
There isn't an FSU quarterback I don't hate, honestly. But – Vaughn, I wanted to ask you. So Lance touched on the fact that that a lot of players on the Miami and Florida State roster grow up playing against each other. You know, he said whether it's sandlot ball or high school ball or, you know, peewee ball or whatever. What are your experiences like that? I mean, just tell us what it was like for you. I mean, I'm assuming that you played against some of these kids growing up.
My recruiting year was 04, so. The DB that Miami were recruiting, we all were talking together. You know, it was me, Anthony Reddick, J.R. Bryant, Trevor Ford. And those two guys wound up going to Florida State after they said, oh, yeah, man, we're going to Miami. We want to make this, you know, a duo at corner and y'all two at safety. And then they wound up going to Miami. I mean, going to Florida State. It's like, why? Why did you do that? Like, why would you go up there? It's nothing up there. But one club in FAMU, which is, I think it's the better school in Tallahassee.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, why would you go out there and leave home? But
yeah. I heard their football program's better this year.
Yeah, they are. and they ain't even playing the season this year. They ain't even playing the season to the spring.
they definitely have better colors, I can say that much.
Yeah, better band. Better colors, better school, better mascot. Everything's better.
Absolutely. So who would you say – you said the trash talking is you know, it's a lot more in this game. Who was the biggest trash talker on FSU?
Oh, it had to be Ernie Sims. He would talk after every play. Either him or Buster Davis. I think it might have been Buster Davis. Because Buster Davis would talk after – every play. I'm like, you didn't even make the play. Why are you still talking? I'm like, you didn't even make the play. Why are you still talking?
So when you're when you're talking trash, does the quarterback get involved? Like, would a quarterback talk trash back to you?
The one that would was Xavier Lee. Xavier Lee talked a lot of smack, man. Like, he thought he could have swore he was all world. and all that in the bag of chips. He would talk trash. He was, yeah, I'm going deep. We going deep. Y'all can't stop us. Y'all can't stop the run. Y'all can't. I'm like, just go back in the huddle and run a play. Try to get some yards.
Florida State, man, it's just different. I was just wondering if like Drew Weatherford would talk trash or Chris Ricks or
Christian Ponder, yeah.
Coach Bowden.
Oh, Coach Bowden was. I remember on the sideline, he would he came up to me. He was like, it was pregame, and you know, I just ran down that sideline, just doing my warm up, and he was like, Ponder, I remember we recruited you, but too bad we're gonna beat you today. I'm like, Coach Bowden talking trash too.
Like, I love that, man.
I'm like, you know, and I was like, Coach Bowden, you know, you on your coaching show, you don't remember some of your players' names. How are you gonna talk trash?
Oh man. Well, so who on the Miami side that you interacted with, it, like who would you say was the best trash talker on your teams?
Oh, it had to be Bruce Johnson. He was his country accent and and his the way he talked trash, man, it was a joy to play with, man. I mean, he would talk trash all game long, and guys would be like, man, I can't do nothing. He guard me tight. I'm like, yeah, he gonna guard you tight all game, and he ain't gonna get nothing.
Love it, man. Well, so I want you to tell me, so give your pregame analysis for this upcoming game. Tell me what you think we're going to try to do and how effective it's going to be against Florida State.
Oh, Florida State, they run a two trap where the corner is off in cover two, but like if it's doubles to his side, he comes off of number one if he goes outside. So I think we're going to a lot less screens or quick passes and more like the pass you saw to Jordan on the touchdown pass, the vertical routes.
Yeah.
You know, pushing more vertical, pushing two or three guys vertical at a time, you know, to stretch them out because they're basically covered two the whole game.
Okay. Okay, well,
Samuels? That's his name, the cornerback. Is it Samuels? That's his name.
I'm not sure.
The cornerback.
Yeah.
Asante Samuel Jr.
He had against a couple interceptions against, or had an interception against Georgia Tech, but yeah. That's all he plays. He play. Oh yeah, it's Samuels because he played like his dad. That's what I said. Yeah. But and their offense, I can't. Can somebody tell me what the
Tiger offense is? Just not very good. I think we can just be honest. It's not very good.
It's not good at all. Like they don't know where to be at or don't know who to block. It's like they're very confused all the time. Like
it's crazy you say that because their head coach is not going to be there this weekend because he tested positive for coronavirus. How much of an impact will that have on their offense? Because he's an offensive guy.
Offensive guy, yeah. It's gonna be a lot because if that's the guy who game plans, if he's not there to see, if he's not at practice to see those things that they have done mistakes on, he can't correct them. They could show him film, but it's still not the personable touch to tell a guy where to be at.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I actually like their offensive coordinator, Kenny Dillingham, but you know, I'm just not sure they have a very talented offensive roster this year.
No, not at all. And then with the receiver, Terry, I don't know if he's just not into it. I don't think he's into it.
It doesn't seem like any of their players are, man. I mean, They had so much turmoil in the off season not to get into politics, but there's been a lot of stuff going on around the country, you know, and Florida State has kind of like they've kind of been in the thick of that. You know, there's been some disagreements between the players and the administration, whether it's coaching or like, you know, there was that whole thing about renaming the stadium.
Yeah.
Like it, there's been a lot of upheaval in Tallahassee this offseason.
Yeah, it has. And then that stupid video they did in the weight room or the locker room. Whatever that was. I thought it was going to be like some Boosie or somebody else. But I was like, what? I'm going to beat these guys by 40. I saw that video come out.
I usually don't predict blowouts for Miami FSU just because you don't know what's going to happen. But I feel like this is the one season where you could point to and say, yeah, I could see Miami winning by 20 or more points.
Yeah, because I can see their offense is not Louisville offense.
No.
No way.
Far from it.
And their defense is they look like they're like their first year playing football to me.
Yeah.
It looks just like their secondary looks okay. The defensive line, we know they had a stud, Marvin Wilson, but the linebackers just look out of place in their defense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, their defense is definitely a lot more solid than their offense. I really wish Terry would just, you know, hit the portal and maybe come to Miami because he's a talented player in it. And even when a kid's at FSU, you kind of feel bad for him because, I mean, he's not putting up the numbers he could.
No, he's not because I don't think the stick man can get the ball to him. I don't.
The stick man, I love it. Okay, LaVon, yeah. Last question for you. I need score prediction for Saturday. What's your prediction for Saturday?
42. No, I said take that back. 48-14.
I love it. I love the correction, man.
Yeah, 48-14. I believe we're going to put up more points than Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech put up, 47 or 48? Or 40,
no, it was 40. Just 16 to 13.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me they put up 40-something. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't think they put up 40-something. But I'm like, we're going to put up 40-something points on them. Because looking at our offense, it looks like a machine that's getting ready to be well or because they haven't yet. Listen to the quotes. They haven't even hit on all cylinders yet.
Yeah.
It's scary.
So we were talking to Derek King this morning for the media and King was and we asked him, you know, how are you feeling, you know, about Saturday's game? He goes like, you know what? I feel like we played okay. We still need to work on a lot. I'm like, damn, we scored 47 points.
47 points. Because if they don't drop those passes, that's another almost 3 touchdowns they could have put up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, like, if you watch the tape, I think you can see it, honestly, you know, which is incredible that we still put up 47 because, you know, like, I mean, there was times where our pass blocking was really shaky. We had a lot of drop balls. We had, you know, Will Mallory's long pass reception called back on a penalty. You know, we made some mistakes on defense. I mean, we gave up over 500 yards. And the fact that we still – like very convincingly beat a ranked team on the road in primetime. Like I think that just speaks to how high this team can go if everyone stays focused.
They are looking real good. They're looking better than predicted to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're starting to the country's starting to take note a little bit of the Canes.
I just hope they don't take too much notice and give them a 6 or 7 year, I mean 6 or 7 year, $7 million deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, LaVon. Hey, thank you so much for coming on, brother. You're always welcome on the show, man. We'll have to get you and your boy Bruce Johnson on the show again.
All right, man.
All right, brother. Hey, take care, man. Hope you and the family are doing well.
All right, thanks, man. Fours up, man.
Fours up, baby. Go Canes.
Thanks, Von. Cool, man. Well, so speaking of which, I wanted to ask you if you saw that Kirk Herbstreit said that he thought that Rhett Lashley will be a head coach in a year or two. Did you see that?
I saw that. That broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, remember, I've been predicting that we got 1 year with him, man.
Yeah, I said 2 years. I just hope we just give me at least 2 years, please.
Yeah, and
please.
here's what I'm thinking, and I could be wrong because I'm just making this up while I talk, right? But I'm a smart guy, right? Smart takes. So, I think that if he gets a good Power 5 job, he's gone this year. But I'm hoping that he wouldn't leave for a job. I mean, let's say a school like SMU, you know, SMU or Memphis or just a Group of Five school, you know. If the Utah States of the world call him up and want him to be their head coach, that he says no. You know, even if we have to pay through the nose to keep him here, that's fine with me. But I'm hoping he would turn something like that down. But I just have a feeling that a premier school, you know, whether it's like South Carolina, you know, I mean, it's not like Will Muschamp has a lot longer there. You know, a school like South Carolina, or if something goes sideways at Auburn, you know, that one is my biggest fear, because as good of a coach as, I mean, his name's escaping me right now, Gus Malzahn, as good of a coach as he is, but there's always been kind of a rocky relationship between him and the administration. Yeah. You know, if something goes sideways there, I would bet my house — I don't have a house, but if I had a house, I would bet my house that they go straight to Rhett Lashley.
Yeah, I think that his name would definitely be a popular one. I think that he would get bigger offers if he stayed at least 2 years. I think it's kind of hard to offer someone just based off one season. Yeah. I mean, that's just me thinking.
I will tell you, though, I did my diligence on the SMU message boards, and my recon, at least, you know, the rumor on there was that he already had head coaching job offers when he took the Miami job.
Oh, yeah, and I don't doubt that at all. I think he's definitely going to have head coaching offers after this year, but I think that it's going to be more like teams like SMU or Memphis, things like that. I think if he can prove that he can be efficient for two seasons at a school like Miami, that's when I think bigger offers will come, that he could be leaving us.
It's going to happen, though. I mean, we can both acknowledge that, right? Like, he's only going to be here like 2 years tops, 3 years maybe, if something crazy happens.
But can we just, like, appreciate that, like, even just through the first two games, that all of this crap we've been saying throughout the offseason is happening.
It is.
Like, this, it's working. We just scored 47 goddamn points.
When was the last time we were two games into the year and other people wanted our offensive coordinator?
1989.
Well, actually, I mean, I wasn't supposed to say this, but 2 years into the 2016 – or two games into the 2016 season, Nick Saban called me about John Rick. And he was like, hey,
who did we beat? Like, FAMU? Something
yeah,
like that.
He's like, hey, your quarterback's coach.
Who's that bastard?
Yeah. I hear this John Richt guy is pretty good.
Yeah, what you got to say about that, boy?
Yeah. So I wasn't supposed to say that, but.
sorry, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Nick. Oh, don't block me on Twitter.
All right. Well, is there anything else we got to get to? I know we'll be back on Friday. Our good friend Tito is coming on Friday.
Oh, I love Tito.
Love Tito. So we'll have to get him, a few more guys on the show. We'll get all fired up. Sorry, I don't have my energy level today. I feel sick as a dog.
Yeah, it's all that camping, dude. What did you guys eat on the camping trip? Camping food's always the worst.
We had chips and
hot dogs.
I had a few ding dongs. I know those were brought. But I did not come out of the camp. It was awesome. I'm not a camping guy, but it was really fun. But I did not come out of the camping trip feeling like, man, I'm really healthy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my gut and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
What's happening down there?
I went to scout camp once. And I woke up in the middle of the night. This is my only camping experience. I woke up in the middle of the night and some kid in my scout troop is just like puking his guts out on the floor of the tent.
Yeah, I had never been camping before, and so this is a big step for me.
Yeah, and then after that, I was like, you know what? I think I'm just done with scouts. It's not even just camping that I'm done with. I'm just done with scouts.
Yeah, I was never into scouts. My dad was like, all right, you're in scouts right now, but you're also playing football. Which one do you want? And this was at like 8 years old. So it's not like I had a big decision to make, but I'm like, yeah, scouts suck. I don't want to be outdoors. I don't like the outdoors. I'm going to stay inside and play some NCAA or go outside and play football. I don't want to be in the wilderness. I'm not built for the wilderness.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to learn how to tie different knots. I'm trying to get laid, you know? Like, that was what 11-year-old Jordan was saying.
That was perfect. Yeah, I don't need to know how to start a fire with two sticks. I need to learn how to talk to girls.
What does Jonah Hill say? Like, nobody's gotten a hand job in cargo shorts since Vietnam?
Since Nam.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I was 8.
With my cargo shorts with my compass. And trail mix in the side pockets.
Yeah, like, I don't do dirt. I don't do dirt. I don't do dirty thing. Like, I'm not meant for no service and dirt.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
But it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I was down in southern Utah, and it was real pretty.
I told you you liked it down there.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty, and
I just like giving you a hard time about that. No,
you're good. It was honestly like a lot of fun. It was great to get away from the phone, from social media for a little bit, get away from work. But I'm much more of a like a Ritz Carlton on the beach kind of a guy. I'm a city slicker. Like I showed up to go camping and I was in ripped jeans. And my uncles looked at me. They're like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, what am I supposed to wear? I don't know what to wear. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Cargo shorts, man. There's no girls around. You don't even need to worry.
There's not a pair of cargo shorts in my home.
That's why
I hate cargo shorts. I think they're one of the worst things ever to happen to the human race in terms of style. Is cargo. Yeah. You know what? Not even in style, just in general. Like who looked at cargo shorts and said, you know what? That's it. That's the money idea.
I don't know, man.
Probably a loser.
Probably guys from Tallahassee, honestly.
Okay. All right. Do we have anything else today?
Nope, man. We're ready.
All right. We are ready. Okay. All right. We will see you guys on Friday. Continue the hatred for FSU. You know what? Tweet at me. Say, hey, Marsh, you need to get it going. Like, I don't feel like you're really ready, because I will appreciate it and I will tweet back saying, you're damn right. I'm not ready and I need to get there. So help your boy out. And we will talk to you guys on Friday. Go Canes.
Cool. Go Canes.
We're 2-0, baby. Go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.